Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Shannon J. Kirshner. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 16 and Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Central Sunday morning service for the 17th of November, 2024, the 26th Sunday after Pentecost, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Sermons Under Worship.
This is the last Sunday that we're going to spend in Mark's Gospel, because next Sunday is Reign of Christ Sunday, and then guess what? It's time for Advent. So, yes, that's right. It's coming. So we are in the 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel, the first 8 verses. I invite to again listen for God's living word. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. In these post-election days, I feel like being church reminds me a little bit of what I experienced as a first-time new parent. When I was pregnant with Hannah, I read all of the What to Expect When You're Expecting books. I could tell you just about every single day how big she was, size of a grape, size of an apple, size of a grapefruit. I knew when all of her organs were developing. And I was devoted to learning all of these details in some vain attempt to feel like I was somehow in control of what was growing literally inside of me. But around month 8, I began to panic. I realized I had no idea what I was going to do when she was actually born. I hated babysitting as a teen. I had never even held a newborn child. I felt completely overwhelmed. And so I did what I know to do. I read, I researched, I memorized the process for how to give the newborn baby her first bath, complete with Q-tips and cotton balls. And then after a ridiculously long labor in which she tried to headbutt her way into the world, she was finally born. And as Greg and I stayed awake in the hospital on that first night, just staring at her as she slept, I realized that no matter how much research I had done, it was clear we were going to be making it up as we went. We would have to learn how to be Hannah's parents each day of her life, hour by hour, day by day. And while that turned out to be true, that sense of chaotic reality of what it meant to have the gift of raising a child, particularly in that first year, made me lose that larger picture. In that first year, I was solely just kind of focused on making it through. I have felt similarly this past week. As I told the students at Columbia Seminary on Friday morning, perhaps the curriculum has changed since the late 1990s, but when I was a student there, no one taught me how to lead a church during a time when the nation has seemingly made a choice again for more injustice, more chaos, and less kindness. And no one taught me how to preach Jesus when yet again, the call to love your neighbor has somehow become a democratic talking point. Furthermore, back in the day, we didn't take things like community organizing training, so we weren't instructed on how to become a part of an already existing movement unless we thought we were going to be the ones organizing it. And while things have probably changed since I graduated in 1999, the idea of having to once again preach and lead through 4 more years of having a sermon ready-ish on a Friday, only to have something chaotic happen on Friday evening, causing me to have to decide whether or not I react one more time. Well, seminary didn't prepare me for that either. And so, like back in 2016, I find myself trying to get ready to help both me and all of you to just sort of keep our heads down and make it through. In her novel, The Accidental Tourist, Anne Tyler tells a story of Macon and Sarah, and here's what she writes. They were supposed to stay at the beach for a week, but neither of them had the heart for it, so they decided to come back early. Macon drove, Sarah sat next to him, leaning her head against a side window. Chips of cloudy sky showed through her tangled brown curls. Just past the start of the divided highway, the sky grew almost black and several enormous drops splattered on the windshield. Sarah sat up straight. "Let's hope it doesn't rain," she said. "I don't mind a little rain," Macon said. Sarah sat back again, but she kept her eyes on the road. The drops on the windshield grew closer together. Macon switched his wiper on. "Can you see all right?" Sarah asked. "Of course," Macon said. "This is nothing." They arrived behind a trailer truck whose rear wheels sent out arcs of spray, and Macon swung to the left and passed, and there was that moment of watery blindness till the truck had dropped behind. Sarah gripped the dashboard with one hand. "I don't know how you can see to drive," she said. "Well, maybe you should put on your glasses," he said. "Putting on my glasses would help you to see, Macon." "Not me, you," Macon said. "You're focused on the windshield instead of the road." This story speaks to me because I wonder if, due to whatever we're dealing with at that moment, we can get stuck on just getting through what's right in front of us and forget about any kind of bigger picture. We might focus on the fact that we are not sleeping rather than the gift of life resting in our arms. We might consider only the despair we know lies ahead rather than notice that there are some coalitions beginning to form on the margins. In the face of what feels like a reality of chaos, we can often just look at the windshield instead of the road. The disciples were like that too. In the scripture from Mark's gospel, they hear Jesus say, "The temple is going to be destroyed." So they immediately start asking questions. What's going to happen? What are the signs going to be? And when is it going to end? The disciples are anxious. They're just trying to get through each day. So when they hear what they assume to be bad news, they immediately think everything is just going to go down the drain right then and there. We should, though, give them some credit. Because hearing the temple was about to be destroyed was significant. The temple was one of the wonders of the ancient world. It was the big steeple. The stones that made the retaining wall were 40 feet high. Herod the Great constructed it at great cost. He used so much gold in decorating the exterior of the building that, according to one historian, the sight almost blinded spectators when the sun shone upon it. Having an institution like that fall would make it seem like the end of the world. And whenever it feels like the end of the world, well, it becomes easy to be single-minded about that and to only focus on the crisis right in front of their eyes. It did not sound like good news to those disciples. As usual, I don't think we're all that different from the disciples. Sometimes we, too, become single-minded about what we feel like is the end of the world, days full of chaos. We focus on the crisis right in front of our eyes. We, too, forget to look for the road that is ahead, even if it's so very hard to see. A road, a way paved not with gold, but with God's promises. Promises of a new day, a second coming, a jubilee world. We look only at our windshield, and we see the very real threatening things. A globe that's still heating up, the continuation of violence in the Middle East, the already chaotic atmosphere on Capitol Hill, another 4 years we simply cannot predict. It's enough to make you wonder and worry and become angry. All we can see in front of us is the rain and the ruin and the real world concerns before us. Are these signs? we might wonder. Is it time to just batten down the hatches and just keep our heads down and do whatever we can just to survive and make it through? I think the Jesus we encounter in Mark 13 would probably say no. For this chapter is not just about some future time, rather it's also a snapshot of the disciples' present day trouble. And Jesus seems to be concerned that the events will be blown out of proportion. Jesus does not want the disciples to read more into the chaos, and they should. Don't be alarmed, he says. This is the beginning of the birth pangs. Calm down, he instructs. Calm down and refocus. You're looking only at the windshield. Don't be short-sighted. God's road is ahead. This is just the beginning of the birth pangs. I think it's interesting that Jesus uses the image of birth pangs, labor pains. After all, labor is about new life, not about death. And even though some of us in here will not give literal birth, we are all birthing something into this world all the time. So it's important that we notice that when the disciples are talking about an end, Jesus responds by using language about a birth, new beginning. That's good news. What's being born through him is God's promised kingdom, God's reign, God's household. Can't you see that? Jesus asked them. But they couldn't. Their heads were down and their focus was solely on the immediate chaos happening right there in their midst. And we understand that, don't we? We feel that, don't we? The disciples knew that Jesus was headed for trouble, and all they wanted to do is just survive, make it through, hoping he would do the same. And yet, we all know that's not what Jesus did. He always had his head lifted, eyes on the road, vision of the larger picture of how God was using him to transform not just those disciples, but all of creation. Jesus had little patience for a focus merely on survival and just getting through. This is the beginning of the birth pangs, he announced. It's going to be a long, long labor. We've just gotten started. But don't miss the bigger picture of the reign of God that God is already bringing about. Can't you see it? Refocus. Refocus. As I sat with this text this past week, I started to wonder what larger picture of possibility in God's presence in the world have I been missing over this past week? What have I failed to see that is of God due to my own complete and total focus on survival and feeling a lot of grief? How has my singular focus on the windshield of our day blinded me to the larger transformation that I trust God is still bringing about? What places of new birth have I been missing? What places have we as a congregation missed seeing? I don't have any answers to those questions just yet, but I do think they are questions with which we are all invited to wrestle, both as people and as a people. For the truth that Jesus is lifting up is that we might miss the opportunity to live faithfully in the here and now when we only focus on that windshield. When we keep our heads down and just try to make it through, we might miss the chance to see what is around us that indicates God's presence is with us and how God is still at work in our world. And when we lose sight of the bigger picture that God is still laboring to bring about amongst us, we can lose the opportunity to be an active part of that labor ourselves, to be midwives for whatever the Spirit is up to. So perhaps one thing we can glean from this passage is a call for far more attentiveness in this waiting time, this labor time. A call to renew our trust in God's promise that despite all appearances to the contrary, God is still working out God's purposes of love and of mercy and of making all things new, of justice. But as I told you last Sunday, I do know not all of us who are in here are able to hear this promise today. Some of you are still tired. You're going to be tired for a long time. You're still weary. You're not ready for hope, and that's okay. Because a gift of being part of a community like Central is that others of us can hold on to your hope until you're able to hold it for yourself again. So reclaim your time, and those of us who can, we will stand beside you as you do. So friends, where are you focused in these days? What has captured your attention? Is it trying to just get through hour by hour, day by day? I know that's all we can do sometimes, but how can we resist letting that become our whole orientation to our lives? How might we again try to focus on the fuller picture of the road ahead? The road that is paved with God's hope and divine dogged determination for transformation. For in the end, we belong to a God who, in the midst of impending chaos and fear, declared with boldness, "This is just the beginning of the labor pains. New life is already coming about. Try and see it. Can't you see it?" Perhaps in time, we might once again discover the strength and the courage that we need to help lift our heads and refocus. For as I continue to preach, and will the entire time I'm in ministry with you, God is not done with us yet. Not by a long shot. We are not alone. We've got each other, and God's got us. So when we are ready, let us lift our heads and let us see. Amen?
Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.